Some call you Mama. Some call you Mommy. Some call you the most smartest. Some call you so funny. Some call you homework helper. Some call you higher, higher. Some call you their hero. And also their taxi driver. Some call you Nana, or Abuela, or Meemaw. Some call you Mother. Please stop spoiling them all. Some call you a mentor. Some call you a friend. Some call you God's kindness for the mother they never had. Some call you from the beginning. Some call you much later. Some call you guardian or foster parent on paper. But paper never stopped you from showing up open-handed. You were no less the mother and the love God intended. Some call you joy. Some call you graceful. Some call you strength. Some call you faithful. Some call you constant. Some call you care. Some call you always. Some call you there. Some call you the greatest. Some call you the bomb. But I call you blessed. I call you Mom.
Praise the Lord, praise his holy name. Amen. Just glad to be in the house tonight. I tell you, it's just so much stuff going down. And I say this every week because I see more and more and more, and it's getting more aggressive. Things are happening that you really need to pay attention to. And I'm being very, very serious. Keep your eyes open. But you got to keep your eyes on the prize too, because there are things coming down, and it may seem like God does not work. He's not hearing your prayers. He's not hearing your cries. I'm telling you, that is a device of the enemy to shake your faith, because you can't see what you can't see, but things are always going on. And when you pray, heaven responds. May not be as fast as you want, may not even be the way you want it, but heaven is responding. And so there are times where I have to learn this lesson over again and over again, because a lot of times we all get impatient. And even we don't wait for the manifestation of God's work or your prayers. We don't wait for them. We want to take over. We want it to go the way we want it to go. And sometimes that messes things up. But we have to get right back in line and keep praying. Stay the course. Excuse me. There are times when you've been praying and you have to sacrifice. Some things happen to you and you have to sacrifice. You lose things. People take things. People steal things. Your car breaks down. All kinds of things happen. But, you know, what your benefit is that you stay faithful with God and let his word continue to reign in your mortal bodies. And this is not easy for mankind, not with the bodies that we have, because we've been told since we were children, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself. And there are times when we follow that all the way to the letter of the law. But I want you all to be inspired today. Stay the course. Stay faithful. Stay with God. Are there any praise reports today? Does anyone have something that has happened in their lives that they would like the rest of us to know about so that we can shout right along with you? Amen. Any praise reports today? Any prayer requests today? We're okay, we're gonna keep it moving. I wanna say to all of you, you are welcome, welcome, welcome in this space that we call worship. Come on in. Bring all your problems, bring all your aches and pains. This is God's hospital. This is God's counseling session. Amen. Let the word rule in your mortal bodies. Let it heal your bodies. Let it sink in as it was designed to be your center, your core, your foundation. Let it come on in. Amen. You'll see healing from the inside. Amen. All right. Well, today, we're going to continue on in a series that we have been working on. Our last episode was about the paradox of free will. And so, as we talk about free will, our reference scripture today is found in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And it says, "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. So listen, before we get in this message, let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this time today, that we have our health and strength, that we have different levels of success. But we thank you, Father, for what we receive this day in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we invite the Holy Spirit of promise into our lives, into our homes, into our jobs, into all of our situations, Father, that your word may flow freely on our insides, unhindered and unchecked by any force. We just thank you that the Holy Spirit brings us all wisdom and righteousness. So we just pray, Father, that you come in right now and intercede and teach us your word, Father. Give us the word. Let us stand up in the faith and the word of God. And thank you, Father, for all you do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, our lesson today is called Making Righteous Choices in Modern Times. So this is what a lot of us want to know. Now, I got some other scriptures that I want to unveil to you today, because I want you to have the word in you as we walk down the path of righteousness. So our next scripture is found in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 through 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Next scripture, Galatians 5:16. And I'm going through these because I want them to soak in and for you to begin to take this in and put the word of God as foundation for this lesson. Amen. Galatians chapter 5:16-17. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Amen. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that ye would." And I want you to understand what this is saying. It's telling you that the flesh does not know or understand the spirit. And what it's saying, your spirit do not understand the flesh. In other words, they don't go together. So what it's telling you, they are contrary to one another. They butt heads against each other, one to the other. Now, if you don't know and you're going back and forth, this is what it says. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would do. It didn't say do, but I'm saying it to you. It's going to get in the way. You're not going to be able to go forth because it brings about confusion going back and forth. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is how it reads. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So what he's telling you is not going to let you get so far underwater that you can't bear it, that it overtakes you, that your head goes underwater. He says not going to let it go that far. But he will provide a way of escape for you that you can live with or that you can bear. That's what this scripture is saying. So beloved, I want to welcome you back to our series on free will. Last week, we explored the paradox, the tension between what we want and what God wants. Amen? We don't have to examine how the watchers or Adam and Eve and countless other people throughout history have wrestled with the gift of free will. We learn that will is a powerful gift and that it carries consequences with our decisions. And that redemption is always available to those who turn back to God. And what this is stating is that when you miss God and you make a bad choice, it's telling you that you need to repent, ask for forgiveness, and come back to God. That's what it means by, and that redemption is always available to those who turn back to God. Because when you do those things, you are turning back to God. Amen. But here's what I know many of you are thinking. That's all well and good for understanding history and biblical context. But Elder, what about now? What about my life today? What about the choices I face each and every day? Amen? That's what we are diving in today. How to make righteous choices. What do we do? Because we face these decisions every day, all day. Amen. And because the truth is, you don't have to go back to Genesis to look up Adam and Eve, or the book of Enoch to look up the watchers, or to look around the room or read in history where others have made bad choices. They chose their flesh or their own will over God's will. You see it in action every day. Every morning when you wake up, you see this same action in your relationships because you have to make choices. Now, you see it in your bank account. You see it in your careers. You see it in temptation when your body is talking to you, lusting, following other things. You know, or you hear whispers in your ear from the spirit of the enemy, and you know, nobody else can hear it but you. but you heard it. And then you have to make a choice whether to listen and follow or not listen and do what God is telling you to do. Because just like I said, each choice has a consequence. Amen. Now, free will isn't some ancient, abstract concept. It's happening in your life right now. Real time, real talk. Today, we're going to talk about how to exercise your free will in ways that align themselves with God, with purpose, with meaning, not in the distant future, but right now, today. In your relationships, with your money, in your careers, and your battle against temptation, the one that we face all the day long. Now, free will in relationships, let's talk about that first. Choosing love over selfishness, our own desires. Let's focus on our relationships, because many of you, free will will show up first thing in the morning when you wake up. You wake up to your spouse, loved one, or your kids. Maybe even if you live with a friend, you wake up to seeing your friend. Now, in that moment, you have a choice. And that choice is one that you make within the next few seconds will ripple through your entire day and into theirs as well. There is a paradox that exists in our relationships. But come on, Elder, tell me about it. Okay, I'm glad that you asked. God's will in your relationship is clear. The Bible says, love one another, forgive one another, be patient with each other, and listen. And sometimes you're in a position where you are serving others. You may be helping the other one, but we look at it as you're serving. But your flesh, your immediate desires often want something different. Here lies a paradox or the conflict. Now in 1 John 4:7-8, we are told, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. That's God's divine order. Love always. Now look, I have to say this to you because I've experienced this. And so what I'm going to tell you now is that some people and some situations, you have to love from a distance. You cannot be up close. Because some people have they're always trying to prove something, or they always got to be the smartest in the bunch, or different things that are going on in their mind, okay, that you can't even see, but you see it in their response. So these type of people sometimes that are controversial, or that love to argue, okay, these are the type of people you have to love from a distance. Because they rub against the Spirit of God in you. And someone will make you almost want to curse. So I'm telling you, some of these people, you have to love from a distance. Some of these situations that come up, you have to love from a distance. And then you can also forgive them from a distance. That don't mean you have to go up in their face and tell them, I forgive you. Talk to God about it in Jesus' name. And say, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. Okay? Let God know what your intentions are. That's your best friend. That's your advocate. Amen? Now, there are times when your flesh wants to do something different, as we spoke. What does your flesh want when your child talks back to you? What does your flesh want when your spouse or somebody close to you, you know, forgets something that's important for you or that you asked him to bring or do for you? What does your flesh want when someone says something that hurts your feeling or does something that hurts your feeling? Your flesh wants to retaliate, defend, win the argument, prove you're right. These are just a few things that can happen. Now, the charge you face when these things occur: every relational conflict is a free will choice. You can choose God's way, love, forgiveness, patience, kindness, or the other way, anger, vindictive, control, possession, or treat you like a possession. Those are not God's ways. Let me give you some examples from modern life. Amen. Example number one: your wife or your loved one or your close friend makes a comment that touches you, really makes you angry, but you holding that back. And you got three choices when that happens. You can snap back from your flesh, your anger, your hurt feelings, or you can ask for clarification or ask clarifying questions in kindness, God's way. Or you can choose to communicate how what they said or did make you feel and talk it out, God's way. Now, which way will you choose? That's my question to you. You don't have to answer for me. Answer it for yourself. Example number two: your child or your teenager roll their eyes at you. You can allow your flesh to erupt in anger. You can put them in their place in anger. Or in that moment, you have a free will choice. Choose to match their disrespect and let loose on them. Choose to address the disrespect, but do it with patience and with understanding. That's God's way. Choose to ask what's really bothering them and why they responded like that. That's another God's way. Now, which way will you choose? Amen. Example number three. A friend who hurts you is someone that you trusted, said something about you behind your back, and it got back to you. Ooh-wee. You're hurt. You're angry. You want to tell others about what you know about them. To protect yourself and damage their reputation just like they did yours. What most people call damage control. Now, in that moment, you have a free will choice. Let's talk about that. You can choose to gossip and spread all of their business with everybody around so that it'll get back to them. Or you choose to confront them privately with the goal of reconciliation because you once considered them your friend, okay, your boy or your girl. Or you can choose to forgive and move forward God's way. Which way will you choose? My question for you. Now, in Romans 12:19, this is how it reads. Now, I'm going to go fast through this because we only have an allotted amount of time and I got a lot to unpack to you. So you'll have to go on the app and download it at the App Store or the Google Play Store under Rick H. Carter Ministries, or you can catch it on one of the social media sites, okay? And listen to it and go through the scriptures for yourself. And that's what's most important about all of it, going through the scriptures for yourself. Foundation, that's what you get. You get a foundation. Romans 12 and 19 says, Paul was talking. He said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath." Now, what does that mean? It means stand aside yourself as a mere spectator and let God have it. Let him rule over it. Let him do what you want to do. Because he says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." That's the last part of that scripture. So how to resist temptation? Now that's a tough one. Here's how the Bible teaches about resisting temptation. It says, recognize for what it is. You got to recognize temptation for what it is. That comes from the spirit of discernment. When you invite the Holy Spirit in, he shows you things. When somebody comes up and does certain things to you, the Holy Spirit brings the spirit of discernment on the scene that you may see in the spirit. You see, temptation comes dressed up as something good or somebody you know, somebody you love, maybe even a relative. Sometimes it's something that you want. Now, sometimes it seems harmless in the beginning. The first step is to see it clearly for what it really is. That's what you, when you see it in the spirit, that's what you're seeing. And you got to remember, don't explain it away. See it for what it is. A test of your free will is happening at this moment. Now, in 1 John 2:16, you see, John identifies the three categories of temptation. Pay attention. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And see, this is a very important scripture because it's telling you three portals, okay, to where evil comes in, okay? The lust of your flesh. In other words, you see something you want, you see something you like, okay? Or it's somebody you like, okay? That's lust. And you'll do anything to get it, okay? That's what happens. The lust of the eyes. See, you got to understand, everything you see go down inside and it comes out in your life because you have to speak to yourself. And, you know, some things happen, you say, that's not for me. You have to talk to yourself. You have to rule over your body because the strong man will come for you and try to take you off your own throne. So you got to stand firm in your faith and what you believe in. And stay prayed up. I'm just telling you, it's coming right now. It's coming every day, all day. The spirit of the enemy is on the warpath, gathering everybody that he can gather to be in his army when he meets at Armageddon to fight against God. So a lot of you don't think, oh, well, he's not going to do that to me. I'm a Christian. He's recruiting Christians too. Keep your eyes open. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson today. We invite the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and insight on the things that we should do this day. We glorify your name, Lord, for thy name is great, and great is thy faithfulness. We pray that each and every person here receive what you had for them and that the Holy Spirit was ministering to their hearts. We thank you for all things in heaven and in the earth. And in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. This joy that I have, I give it the world. Take it away, take it away, take it away.
Joy that I have, my Father gave it, it's for you and me.